Welcome to another edition of Lying on the Beach. I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And today we're going to be talking about a really fascinating app. But before we move into that, I want to point out that Lying on the Beach is powered by Handlestick, the must-have phone accessory that adds stylish jewelry and usability to your must-have smartphone. And we'll talk more about Handlestick a little bit later on in this podcast. But first up, we want to talk about an app called Audio Cardio. Lois and I love technology. That's our wheelhouse. And this is a mobile app that claims to protect and restore your hearing. And anything that can help my hearing is something I want to know more about. It allows you to quickly evaluate your hearing and to generate a personalized, inaudible sound therapy to protect and strengthen your hearing. You can think of it like physical therapy for your hearing. And because sound therapy is inaudible, you can use the app while you're doing other things like going for a walk or working or even listening to music. It's called Threshold Sound Conditioning Technology, which is and has been clinically validated by Stanford University, Palo Alto Medical Foundation, and Samsung Medical Center. And joining us is the co-founder and CEO of Audio Cardio, Chris Ellis. Chris, thank you so much for joining us here, Lying on the Beach. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Lois. Thanks for having me here today.
Great.
And we're thrilled to have you. And I guess I guess we have to ask, how does this work? How can listening to a sound that you can't hear actually strengthen your hearing? I guess that's the basic question.
Yeah, so the underlying technology is called threshold sound conditioning. And basically what it does is it stimulates the cells inside your ear at the barely audible level. And in doing so, we're reactivating these cells and helping them connect to nearby cells so that they can better communicate the signals, like the sound waves, and get them sent to your brain for processing. So we are it's very much like, you know, exercising or physical therapy for your hearing ability.
And it's the cells in your brain or cells in your ear? I wasn't sure I got that from you.
Yes, it's the cells in your ear. So the cells are certain cells inside your ear are responsible for sending the signal from your environment to your brain, basically, as it passes through your ear canal. And so those cells are the ones that we are stimulating. And by stimulating those cells, we are reactivating them and strengthening them so that they can better process sound.
So is there any type of hearing difficulties that this doesn't help?
That's a great question. And yes, of course, we can't be the answer for everyone. We target individuals that have something called sensorineural hearing loss. And that is, fortunately, 90% of the world's hearing loss is sensorineural, and that includes everything from aging to noise-induced hearing loss to brain injury, and again, the most common types of hearing loss are sensorineural, and so that is the type of hearing loss that we can effectively help with. And the other types are conductive and mixed hearing loss, and those are not ones that we target. However, just for some information around those, conductive hearing loss can be anything as simple as earwax in the ear canal to dislocated bones. And so, of course, we've got great science and great surgeons out there that can usually take care of this type of hearing loss, which is why, there's far fewer people with conductive hearing loss. And then mixed, of course, is a mix of both those types of hearing loss as well as the ones I explained in sensorineural hearing loss.
So what would you suggest for people to find out what they have before they do audio cardio?
We always suggest that they seek a hearing health professional. And so that would be an audiologist or an ENT. Audio cardio is not a substitute for a diagnosis or treatment. Always seek the help of a medical professional. Our goal is to, of course, give other options and alternatives to individuals. Other treatments and solutions on the market are very expensive and often hard to access. So we just want to provide an option and be a screening for individuals. But yes, going to a healthcare, a hearing health professional is what we would recommend.
Chris, so what age group is this most targeted to? I assume it's older folks with hearing loss, or is it really anyone with a hearing issue? What would you say?
I mean, it's really for anyone that is, experiencing hearing issues or think that they're experiencing hearing issues to go ahead and you know, give our application a try and see where they see how they fare with our assessment. And then, of course, you know, follow up with, if they think that there's something that they want to follow up with, they should, of course, see a medical professional. We do find it mostly in the older demographic, in your 50s plus is where we see more hearing loss. And then, of course, there's definitely people that are younger that are also experiencing hearing issues. So it's really anyone that may want to find a solution.
And Chris, kind of walk me through it. So I download the app onto my phone. I have to put, I guess, AirPods in my ear, and how many is a session, like 5 minutes long or 50 minutes long, and how many sessions is it? Give me the process, and also, what does it cost the consumer to use it?
Yeah, so basically, an individual would download the app from the App Store or the Google Play Store. They would mm-hmm. go connect their headphones or earbuds. Noise canceling is definitely preferred since it can help block out the ambient noise and give a more accurate assessment. And then, so in a quiet room with your headphones or earbuds connected to the phone, you would assess your hearing by moving a lever up and then down and setting it at a point where you can barely hear that tone that is being played. It's a slider, like a volume slider. That you would set to the barely audible level. You would do this 5 times for the left ear and then 5 times for the right ear. That is how we can get your baseline threshold where you can recognize these certain frequencies, the lowest threshold. And so based off of that, our algorithm or our mobile app will generate a personalized and inaudible or barely audible sound therapy. To stimulate the cells inside the ear. And that's a once a day, 1 hour therapy. But because you can barely hear it, you don't have to actively engage with the app or the sound therapy. Basically, you could each morning just press start play or start therapy and go for a walk or check email or do whatever it is you do in the morning. Just put your same headphones on and add this part as part of your routine. And over time, what will happen is that barely audible or inaudible, really, sound becomes noticeable because your hearing is changing. And when it becomes more easily noticeable, you would then retake your hearing assessment, and then our application and algorithm will generate a new sound therapy at your new hearing levels. And we would continue to do this to drive down your threshold of sound, in hopes of better protecting and actually restoring your hearing.
And is there a point where it says you're fine? You're complete. You've restored your hearing, or you're always working towards it but never get to it.
You're always it's like diet and exercise. You always want to work work to get better. And so everyone's biology is certainly different. So all of our limitations are different, but as we use the application, I'm sure one day you will plateau just like you would with working out. And so at that point, you definitely want to maintain, because no matter what, we still age, we still go to noisy environments, we still get, ear infections and things like that. And so all of those things can damage your hearing. And so, you continuously using the application will better protect your hearing as well as, as you maintain it and can help you recover after those situations.
So, Chris, do you have to do this all at once for an hour, or can you do 10 minutes here, 20 minutes there? How does that work?
Yeah, you can definitely split it up, 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes in the evening. Some people turn it on and as before they go to sleep, and the timer will shut off after an hour. So you can definitely break it up. I would think that, breaking it up into 6-10 minute intervals might be a little bit arduous, but yeah, whatever is best for the individual.
And when you're wearing it, you must have a headphone or an AirPod in. You can't just listen to it on speakerphone.
Correct, yes, because we want to be at just the right level, basically right amplitude, volume, and tone. And so we need to do it at the same measurement level as when you did the assessment, as when you do the sound therapy.
So what's happening to most people that something as simple as this hearing therapy can restore hearing? I mean, it sounds like almost to me like if I had a good Q-tip and I cleaned out my ears, I could hear better. I mean, this sounds like a miracle, you know, solution. How is this working? I know you said you're stimulating cells, but like, how did this happen over an app, and why wasn't there a machine that could do this years ago?
Right. So, with the application and how it works is that, you know, we are stimulating cells, and we liken that to imagine a dirt road, right? And so this dirt road, the more you use that dirt road, the more permanent it becomes. And so our cells and the neural pathways in our brain are formed in the same way. The more you use a certain pathway, the more permanent it becomes. So as you start to hear less and less, you get less and less stimulation in the brain, and you're not using those pathways as much. And so as you stop using them, they start to get overrun with weeds and bushes, and then eventually that pathway or dirt road could disappear. So by us stimulating them over and over again, we are helping promote and support those neural pathways in the brain so that the stimulation can reach the brain more easily. And so that's kind of the science behind what we do. And to your question around why hasn't this been done before, we've been doing R&D on this technology for over 15 years. And so there were definitely scientists out there working on this. We just happened to be the ones that patented our technology and did a lot of the research. So, yeah, we're the unique ones in that case.
And I think I can help even Lois out understanding a little bit in that I've read, you know, I had a previous career in dentistry, and most dentists and people who work in a dental office, the frequency of the drill, they lose the hearing of it because they hear it every day, and maybe that's a survival technique. It gets wiped out of their hearing because it's constantly being played, and your brain starts to erase that frequency. So I think it's sort of like that with all the noises we hear. Over the course of a lifetime, you start to, the ones that are so constant, you start to take out of your, you know, out of your range, and this helps bring it back into your range. Does that make any sense?
It makes sense to me. Chris, that question was for you.
Oh, got it. Yes. You can definitely damage your hearing in dentistry. It is one of those, it is now being talked about more and more how dentists being next to that drill are losing their hearing. So you're absolutely right. That's definitely happening in the industry. There's a lot of tinnitus from it as well, which is the ringing in the ears. And so, yes, that's exactly what our goal is to reactivate those pathways and help individuals process sound better. So basically, you know, our goal is to help them hear better.
Chris, what does this treatment cost? What's the app cost to download, or how is it paid for?
So the app is free to test for 14 days. There's a 14-day trial, and within those 14 days, if an individual uses the application consistently as directed for up to an hour a day, they should know if the sound therapy will work for them. And then beyond that, it's $15 or $14.99 a month, or $100 a year, which comes out to $8.33 a month. And, you know, we think that that's a pretty reasonable and fair price considering the other options on the market cost, you know, thousands of dollars, if not tens of thousands, if it's corrective surgery.
What do you project? How many people can you possibly have a year to make a lot of money in this business?
So globally, over 460 million people suffer from something called disabling hearing loss, where it affects their day-to-day life. And over a billion people have some form of hearing loss. That doesn't mean that they have a problem, but they have, you know, maybe mild hearing loss that doesn't affect them. So the market is very big. Those numbers are expected to double in the next 30 years due to, you know, the number of smartphones we have, the headphones that we have, and just everything's becoming louder and noisier, and restaurants are the same way. Restaurants that are loud and noisy are associated with being fun and cool. So some people tend to gravitate towards them when they're younger. And then, of course, as you start to get older, you start to pull back. I definitely have noticed that I'm starting to pull back from those environments as well, especially given the work that we do and just knowing how much damage that can do to our bodies.
But it's going back to the price again. Is there any insurance that, or Medicare, Medicaid, or anything that covers this for folks, or it hasn't been recognized by the insurance industry yet?
It has not been recognized by the insurance industry yet. That is something that you know, that is one of our goals in the future. And one of our initiatives is to start working with insurance companies and providing, you know, better preventative health care versus wanting to treat issues down the line.
Chris, mention that number again. How many people have some sort of hearing impairment worldwide?
Over 460 million people.
I know. I thought you said that number. It doesn't seem like high enough, you know, compared to the population of the world.
It's a very high number. At some point, it'll be almost a billion. So
right.
It's about one in seven people, one in eight people by then. So it'll be very, very common. It'll be very common. It is common. I mean, already they think a billion people, the World Health Organization says over a billion people probably have some form of hearing loss. And that is, you know, about one-seventh of our population.
So the whole music industry would be, you know, very interested in this product because, you know, that's their hearing loss is huge.
Oh, absolutely. Musicians that we talk to, DJs that we talk to are constantly, you know, sharing with us that, you know, they definitely have hearing loss. A lot of them have tinnitus. They're ringing in the ears. They're constantly turning up the sound. And it's just getting louder and louder as they play. So I know if they can't hear, that means the environment's getting louder everywhere at every venue that they're playing. And it's not just musicians. You know, it's also people in the airline industry, folks in construction. There's a lot of industries out there that have a lot of occupational hearing loss, especially the Department of Defense. It's the number one claim in the military.
Chris, I'm going to stop you for one second because this podcast is made possible because of our generous donation from our sponsor, which is Handlestick. And so Lois and I are going to just talk about that for a moment or two. Handlestick is the must-have phone accessory that adds a stylish jewelry and usability to your smartphone. Handlestick attaches directly to the back of your existing smartphone case or phone. There's no need to switch cases to use it. Handle uses a braid system that allows the user to slip his or her hand fingers through and kind of keep a tight and effortlessly grip on their phone, whether speaking, texting, taking selfies. It feels like the phone is floating in your hand. Handle allows for complete one-handed use of the other hand for multitasking. Handlestick is also a kickstand that lets you stand up the phone in both landscape or portrait modes. And yes, you can wirelessly charge through the Handlestick. It comes in more than 40 styles, including animal prints, lots of colors, fun glitter, sophisticated carbon fiber patterns, and Handlestick starts at just $10. And you can check it out at handlenewyork.com. That's H-A-N-D-L, New York, spelled out, .com. So that's our sponsor. We want to thank them. And, of course, a Handlestick would be a natural if you're also using the Audio Cardio app because you stand up the phone and then have the Audio Cardio app working at the same time. So that's something to keep in mind. Anything you want to add to that, Lois?
Yeah, did a great job. I think that we should also emphasize that the Handlestick has an adhesive attachment. So you just either put it right on your smartphone or you put it on the case that you use with your smartphone. It'll never come off. And look where the handle brand is labeled on the stick. You put that on the top so that when you're using your kickstand, it just works properly. And you can eventually take it off, but it really stays on very well. And there's millions of, well, not millions, but there will be millions of different styles to pick from. And they're from anywhere, depending on the material, from $10 to $20. And everyone that has it just loves it. So we thank
you. Go on their website, you can see all those styles. And there's really a lot of different options, from really flashy to very classy. They've got it both. They've got really everything going in that department.
So Chris, I was thinking, at some point I'm going to introduce you to the handle stick people, because when you're doing this audio therapy, it's great to be able to have the phone, you know, that you're looking at it and have it standing still. But I wanted to ask you, can you explain to us what the ringing means? Because a lot of people tell me that they have ringing in the ear. I may have it. This is a self-serving question. I don't understand what that means.
Yeah, so the ringing in the ear is something called tinnitus, and some folks refer to it as tinnitus. Yeah, so tinnitus is ringing in the ears, and it's not always ringing in the ears for everyone. For some people, it can be a whooshing sound. For others, it can, you know, it could be sounding like a scratching sound, and ringing. Individuals can have it for just a few seconds, and others have it consistently 24/7, 365. And it can truly be debilitating. And tinnitus is often associated with hearing loss and is a symptom of hearing loss. And so what basically happens is that these cells are misfiring, or your brain is recognizing that this stimulation for these frequencies are being sent to the brain, so it continues to hear it over and over again, even if that sound is not present in the environment. And so because of this misfiring of these cells, you're hearing this ringing in your head, when really it's not being played outside in the environment again. But so because it's a symptom of hearing loss, our goal is to also hopefully help people that have tinnitus, if at all possible, to get them out of that range and make that tinnitus no longer recognizable.
So I know that you just said that, but, you know, can audio cardio do that?
So again, we can't claim that we can, you know, reverse tinnitus or anything like that. You know, we would say that you could certainly try to use the application, and if it's, you know, if you start to notice a difference, we do have people that have noticed the difference, that, you know, can testify themselves from their experience that their tinnitus has been reduced or even subsided completely. We definitely have a couple of those types of people that have written into us about that. But again, yeah, we just can't claim anything, but certainly, you know, possible.
So I have another self-serving question. I'm being very selfish. There are times over the years that I am doing work and I'm sitting in a spot in my living room or in my bedroom, and I swear I hear frequencies of some sort going on. It sounds to me like what electricity would sound like. And I've mentioned it to family members and close friends, and they all think I should go to a psychiatrist. Is there such a...
You should go to an audiologist. It sounds like tinnitus. Before you let your friends tell you you're crazy,
let me insert here though. She has other symptoms that should take her to the psychiatrist.
I swear I could hear electricity in Manhattan in my apartment, and there's a room here in Miami. I could hear buzzing going on, and I hear it. That's, you know, whatever it is, and it's the same spot. So I don't think it's just, you know, happening. I think there's a reason why it's happening. But I can't wait to use audio cardio to see if It helps me identify it. If it lowers it, I love when you explain how this works. If you know, when you start to hear the sounds from audio cardio, you know that your hearing is getting better.
So, yeah, and then you just keep altering it and then, you know, going for the next range. Why is it called audio cardio? What's the cardio part of it? Heart.
Right, because it's a once a day, 1 hour training, if you will. So it's like a cardio training. It's like, it's the 1 hour. It was a play on words.
He was ready to ask you cardiac a question.
Oh, okay. Because I had my self-serving question. Okay,
half the people think, you know, we should be related to something with the heart, and the other half.
Yeah.
I get the training part.
I get it. Audio cardio. I get it now.
So Chris,
the domain was open.
That's
when have you ever thought of a name where the domain was open? So I had to buy it right away.
Absolutely, I agree with you 100%. Absolutely.
Yes,
not exactly Chris, science, but when it came to the name, but
let's ask Steve the question you asked me yesterday. I forgot to tell him. It's the same thing about lying on the beach. Why do we use that name, Steve?
That's a great question. First of all, I just think it's funny because we're telling the truth, but maybe we're not. So there's that lying aspect, which is funny. And on the beach.
Yeah, but that was when we started a long time ago, I told you.
I think it's just a clever name. Lying on the beach. It's just exactly. And so we're having a chit chat here. The three of us could easily be having the same conversation with the waves crashing next to us. So it's great beach talk. So there's no problem with it being. And I like lying on the beach.
I think that's a dumb answer, but okay.
Unfortunately, it is one of those.
Yeah, but
anyway,
Chris doesn't know whether we're lying or telling the truth. But
at the moment, we're telling the truth.
Yeah. So, Chris, I really want to know, are there case studies, I mean, that you could tell us about, or are you too young of a company to, tell us if this works?
Oh, no, absolutely. We've done multiple trials with institutions in a clinical environment. We've done a double blind trial between Stanford University and Palo Alto Medical Foundation. And we had participants go through that trial using our therapy. And it was, again, double blind. So over 75% of the people that used our therapy had a change in their hearing by 10 decibels or more within 2 weeks for the frequencies that we target. And that is very, very significant. 10 decibels is, of course, different for everyone just because the scale is not linear. And so the worse your hearing is, the 10 decibel gain will, of course, mean a lot more to you if you have worse hearing. And so it can definitely take someone from severe hearing loss to moderate. We've seen changes of up to 20 and 30 dB. Not necessarily in 2 weeks, but, you know, in maybe a month or a month and a half as people continue to use the application. So those are the types of results that we got in that double blind study and trial. And we also did trials at Samsung Medical Center in Korea, Chung-an University in Korea, and Nanjing University in China to further prove the efficacy of our technology.
And Chris,
we also have – oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You finish. No, let him just finish.
I was also going to say that that was in a clinical environment. So, you know, across all of those trials and studies, you know, it was over, 75% at Stanford, but across all of them, it was over 70%. And even in our consumer data, we're seeing that when people use the application as directed, meaning consistently and, using the same headphones and things like that, they're getting very, very similar results through a consumer mobile application, which is what we are. We're very much a wellness product, not a medical device. And so it's incredible to be able to see that translate from a clinical controlled environment to something out in the wild and still getting very significant and effective results.
So Chris, one thing that we didn't cover that I forgot, even though this is a rather long podcast, which is very needed, and we will mention it in our copy so people listen through, and this is something Steve is going to love, is please talk about the fact that if people don't have good hearing, what happens to them as they get older with dementia and, and the you know, falling down and kind of like what happens after you fall down. I don't want to, spell it out. I'd like you to.
Yeah, absolutely. And so there's a lot of studies out there that show hearing loss or untreated hearing loss being associated with other physical and mental health issues. And those issues range from, you know, have up to 3 times more likely to fall, up to 5 times more likely at risk for having dementia. And, you know, part of my story and the reason why I started the company was exactly because of that. Years ago, I took my grandfather on a trip to Montana, as he was starting to show just signs of declining as he was getting older. And as we were on this trip, I realized how bad his cognitive impairment was. When you're just visiting him here and there, it's very easy for people to hide these issues. But when you spend 4 days in a row with them, they can't hide it. And so I came home, did some research online. I found studies from Johns Hopkins, Ohio State, and some other institutions tying or associating untreated hearing loss to dementia. And so I thought about my grandfather's life and his journey to where he was at that day. And, you know, he was a hydraulic specialist in the Air Force. He was one of 3 people in his field or in that as that specialist. Then he was doing the same thing at a major airline and was always around heavy machinery, never wore hearing aids, never protected his hearing as far as I knew while I was alive. And I watched him decline. I watched him have severe hearing loss, retire, get isolated, get depressed, have cognitive impairment, dementia, and eventually pass away. So I don't need to see a study that tells me that that's what happens. Or more proof, because I was a witness to it.
And, you know, I always have thought, even as a kid, that, you know, everybody thinks blindness is the worst thing. Blindness, of course, is terrible. But you never think about if you can't hear, how you can't interact with people. I mean, if you don't have your vision, you can still be part of a conversation. You can still listen to radio. You can still follow a story. All that happens through your ears. Your eyes, of course, are super important. But if you don't have your hearing, you really are disconnected. I remember my grandfather, same thing. The whole family would be talking about one thing or another, and he was all by himself because he couldn't hear the conversation. With hearing loss is such a, you know, it's such a horrible, horrible deficit to have. And it's, I agree with you 100%. It doesn't surprise me that it leads to Alzheimer's and whatnot, or at least to...
Yeah, but how does the hearing loss kind of relate to dementia?
Right. So there's actually a new study that's being conducted at Johns Hopkins by the same researcher, Dr. Frank Lin, world renowned researcher. And he, you know, is going to study not just the association, but looking for the causality. So right now, they're still not sure if hearing loss causes dementia or if the isolation that is caused by hearing loss is what is the causality of dementia. So they're still studying that, but there's a high association of up to 5 times more likely of having dementia. And that's why I gave my story, my anecdotal story about, you know, my grandfather, because again, for me, I don't need studies to prove to me that they're associated, and potentially if in the end, it's the same result. So all I care about is providing something for people to hopefully just provide, you know, a better quality of life, and that way, if it can help in other areas, that's absolutely what we want to be a part of.
Okay, so tell us about balance and falling.
Right, and so, you know, the, you know, balance, your balance is, you know, is often controlled through the inner ear. Different parts of the ear, in the inner ear, you know, are connected as well to your taste, including your taste. Your taste buds, and that's why it's, you know, ear, nose, and throat. And so they're all connected. And so sometimes when there's issues with the inner ear, it can affect your mechanism for balance. And when that happens, that's why sometimes vertigo happens and other things. And so it's not necessarily just hearing loss, but in some instances, hearing loss can, of course, cause balance issues. But it's not every single time.
Right. And before we go, the last question is, who was the scientist? We never even mentioned him. that developed all this that you're working with or the team?
Right. Yes. Yeah. So my co-founder is actually, he started off as a music composer in South Korea in the 90s. He's an award-winning music composer. And so he has a good understanding of harmonics and musicology. He's also an adjunct professor at Seoul National University, one of the top universities in Korea. And then he studied cognitive acoustics in his PhD program at UCLA. And so he studied how the brain processes sound. So with his unique skill set, of course, he was able to come up with a way to find a more comprehensive hearing assessment in a digital manner, as well as, you know, doing additional research to find ways to hopefully restore hearing. And then, you know, his sister also works closely with us, and she's also a scientist, and she's a neuromolecular physiologist. And then we have a couple of data scientists as well as other neuroscientists on the team. So really, I'm the voice of the company, and I work with, you know, incredibly smart people all around me. So I can't.
So do you want to tell us the name of this your co-founder?
Oh yes. His name is Sam Sang-yup Kwok. So his Korean name is Sang-yup, but yeah, he goes by Sam Kwok, and he's
Sam. Can you spell his last name?
Kwok, K W A K.
Right, got it. Great. And he's located. Is he located in the States, or is he located in Korea?
He's back and forth between Seoul and Los Angeles. And I'm based in Los Angeles and often go to Seoul. So we go back and forth quite a bit.
Okay, cool. Steve, this has been unbelievable, right?
Great information. I've learned a lot. I hope to hear it better when this is all over. So thank you very much. And Chris, thank you again for joining us Lying on the Beach. Once again, I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And we have been Lying on the Beach. So long, everybody.
Thank you.
All right.